Jasmine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are continuing our 1084 studies on the Psalm. Yesterday we did four verses of Tehillim 6, which consists of 11 verses. So we will start by reading the Hebrew again, Hebrew only. And then when we get to the verses we have not covered, we will include the translations and commentary as well. We'll start with the Lashon Yichud. The handouts are available on the Unique Astrological Times link, and you will find, if you scroll down to the section of Shelbavim, you will find the two handouts that we utilize, the Yearning for Redemption PDF by Rabbi Sutton, and the Sun's Landing page. There's also a third link, which deals with the Tikkun HaKalali, and a Tikkun discussion by the Ben Ish Chai. We have not utilized that as of yet because we have not reached the first of the 10 Psalms of Tikkun HaKalali. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabar Yehud Ishkin Tebit Hilu Urkimu Hilu Hilu Urkimu Beyakta L'shem Yud He Bavad He B'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Panit Dibur Mitzvah Lashon Tov Mitzvah Vayhinu Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Kanunei Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Kanunehu Tehillim 6 Lam Natseach Bin Ginod Al Mishminit Mizmor LeDavid Adonai Yohei Wahei Al Biapach Toki Heini Vial Bacha Matha Eyas Raini Khaneni Adonai Yohe Wahe Kium Lalani Refaini Adonai Yohe Wahe Kini Khalu Atsamai. Benafshi nivchala meod v'yata v'yat Adonai Yohei Wahei ad matai Shuv Adonai Yohei Wahei Chalta nafshi oshienu Leman hazdecha. Return, Hashem. Withdraw, retract your anger. Rescue my soul from death. Save me from this sickness for your love's sake. There are seven words in this pasuk, Psalm 6. Seven connects to the days of the week, connects to Shabbat. It connects to the physical world. You have these two ideas of the soul dying, which is not ever possible, and the sickness. All of these, both of these things are aspects of the physical world. The sixth pasuk. Ki ein b'mavet zikrecha b'she'ol mi yodela. For in death there is no memory of you. Who can acknowledge you in the grave? This phrase is dealing with the level of the body. And perhaps the earlier one, while it said soul, the fifth verse, it said, save my soul. But it was dealing with the lower level of soul that was within the body. And this level of soul stays with the body until the body has decayed completely. The seventh pasuk. Yagati bianchati ashche bekol laila. Mitati bidmeati arsi amse. I was worn out with my sighing. Every night I drench my bed. I soak my couch with tears. This is a colorful way of describing a broken heart. The effect of a broken heart are tears. The eighth pasuk. Asha mika'as eini. Atka b'kol tzorerai. My eye is dimmed, my eye is darkened from affliction, aged because of the torment of all my oppressors. This is a hint as to why we age. We age because we have done negative actions. The effect of the negative actions is chaos in our life, which we perceive as tormentors. This is the cause of aging. The first person who aged was Abraham. He asked Hashem to be able to age, as according to the Midrash. But the real question is, what part of the soul of Adam did Abraham come from? And the answer would be Adam's heart. because of its connection to Chesed. That's my opinion. So why do we have broken hearts? Why do we age? All related. The ninth pasuk. Suru mi meni kopo ale awen kishama Adonai Yohewahe Kobihi. Depart from me, all of you evil doers. Hashem has now heard the silent voice of my weeping. There are 10 words in this verse connecting to the 10 Sefirot. The 10th Pasuk. Shama Adonai Yohewahe Tehinati Adonai Yohewahe Tefilati Yikach. Hashem has heard my plea. Hashem will also accept my prayer. The word yikach means to take. Rabbi Sutton is interpreting it as accepting. The fact that there are 6 words in this pasuk is also indicative of the idea of Zeranpin, which is a connection to Hashem, because we think of Hashem at the level of Zeranpin. The 11th pasuk. Yeshu vayibachalu. Me'od kol oyevai, yashuvu yeshu v'raga. May all my enemies be ashamed and panic-stricken. Let them feel the terrible weight of their evil so profoundly that they return in teshuvah immediately in shame. And from that verse, let us all say, Amen. Now we're going to read all of Tehillim 6, Psalm 6, in the Hebrew.
Lanatzeach b'mginot al hashminit Mizmor le'David Adonai Yohewahe Al bi'apha tokicheni V'al b'acha matzal T'yasreini Chaneni Adonai Yohewahe, ki umlal ani refaini. Adonai Yohewahe, ki nivchalu atzamai. V'nafshi nivchala me'od v'ata. Adonai Yohewahe, ad matai. Shuva Adonai Yohewahe, alta nafshi hoshieni. Leman hazdecha, ki ein b'mavet zichrecha, b'she'ol mi yodelach. Yagati b'anchati, ascha b'kol laila. Mitati bit meati arse amse ash shamikas eniatka bekosorerai suru mimeni kopoale. Awen kishama Adonai Yohewahe Kobiki Shama Adonai Yohewahe Tuchinati Adonai Yohewahe Tefilati yikach Yeshuvi abayi bahelu Meod kolo yavai Yashuvu yevosh yevshu Raga.
We're now going to be reading from the Psalm landing page about Psalm 7. Psalm 7 continues the first day of the monthly cycle. Do not rejoice if God causes your enemy to suffer. Just as the suffering of the righteous is not pleasant, David therefore defends himself intensely before Hashem, maintaining that he did not actively harm Saul. In fact, Saul precipitated his own harm, while David's intentions were only for the good. This kavanah is the traditional kavanah to use when saying this psalm. Does it sound like it's self-justification? The reality is the truth is somewhere in the middle between one person's perception of the event and the other person's perception of the event. Both are not going to perceive it with truth. But we expect that King David would be more connected to truth than would King Saul. But in any event, King Saul was righteous until he wasn't. He would not have been appointed king if he was not righteous, but he made mistakes. And he suffered from those mistakes. And that is not pleasant to experience, and it should not be pleasant for someone else to perceive. And it is not up to the other person who is perceiving that unpleasantness for another person to judge it. The first word is Shinayon. This is an unusual beginning for a psalm. The word is could be a musical instrument, or it could be related to a mistake committed by King David, in recognition of which this psalm was written. This is the opinion of the biblical commentary Rashi. He's a very famous sage commentator, and his words are usually accepted. His descriptions are usually accepted, although many times they're not understood completely. There are 18 verses in Psalm 7, and this connects to the Hebrew word chai, which means life. And this understanding will help you with the kavanah. To recognize that life depends on connection to Hashem. And in my opinion, that's probably a better kavanah to have when one says this pasuk. But this is just my opinion. And it's interesting to note that we all think in terms that the number 18 connects to life, to chai. But it also connects to sin, chet, which is spelled chet, tet, aleph. And one of the words for hatred has a gematria of 18. Normally, we don't try and put negativity to particular numbers. But it is necessary to realize that every number has a positive aspect as well as a negative aspect. Yearning for redemption, the PDF file starting with Psalm 7, which is on the 80th page. David is on the run as a fugitive. I should remind you not to pay attention to the page numbers on the pages, because the PDF is broken into various sections, one of which is the introduction, which is the first 55 pages. And then it starts numbering the pages all over again, starting with 1. David is on the run as a fugitive. King Shaul is chasing him, and his band of 400 men with an army of 3,000 strong. The fugitive and his band finally hole up in the caves of En Gedi. Shaul approaches with his army. David and some of his men are pressed against the walls in the far recesses of a cave. Hashem arranges it that Shaul chooses that very cave to relieve himself. Dark silence. No one breathes. David's men are urging him to slay Shaul. Do it now, tormented. He refuses, but he manages to get close enough to cut off a corner of Shaul's four-cornered garment, his tzitzit. Shaul neither hears nor feels anything. He leaves the cave. David's heart is pounding. What have I done? Woe to me that I have set my hand against Hashem's anointed. He waits a moment and then emerges into the full light of the day. He calls to Shaul and he bows. My master, my king, why do you believe those who tell you that I wish to harm you? Behold, today I could have slain you, but I pitied you. O my father, look at the corner of your garment in my hand. I mean you no harm. Hashem is my witness. Shigayon leDavid. David begins this psalm by declaring his anguish over having erred. This is one of the meanings of the word shigayon, coming from the shoresh shogeg, accidental, unintentional. With regard to Shaul, he thus expresses his anguish over having touched Hashem's anointed and rendering his garment unfit for use. In the same vein, the following verses can be seen to apply to Shaul as well. Nevertheless, David does not mention Shaul's name once in the entire psalm in order not to tie it down to the particular circumstances that gave birth to it. He thus calls on Hashem to save him from all his enemies, and to recognize the righteousness of his deeds. He also insists that as the God of righteousness and justice, he punish those who have attacked him without cause. This is an unwritten commentary that I'm expressing. It's my personal commentary. Before we start the verses, and we will not finish this psalm today, we do need to understand. There is a halakha that the king of Israel is inviolate. No one can harm him. No one can touch him without his permission. Understanding this, King David is running for his life, and in that moment, when he could have killed Shaul, but he knew not to, he also made the mistake, but was it a mistake to cut the garment? It's understandable why he did so. It's understandable how he used that cut piece of garment to demonstrate to Shaul his love for him. It's a good intention, as we said earlier. But it's not. Because at the level of righteous people, the perceptions are so clear. There's another way to demonstrate that to Shaul without cutting his garment. We also need to realize that every human being is a king in their own right. When they become righteous, and in the world that is coming, they are promised to be king, to be a god over 18 worlds, some say 300 worlds. We don't truly understand that meaning. But the essence is each person will become righteous, and each person is a king. And therefore, any form of violence, touching, hitting, striking, is not acceptable if it's done against another human being. The first verse. Shigayon le David asher sharn L'Adonai Ohewahe Al divrei kosh ben yamini. Shigayon le David, an admission of error that David sang to Hashem concerning the Cushite from the tribe of Benjamin. This is referring to King Shaul. The second verse. Adonai Ohewahe Elohai Becha Chasitai Hoshieni Mikol Rodfei Behatzileni. Hashem, my God, in you alone I have placed my trust. Save me from all my pursuers and rescue me. The word Elohai, the second word in this pasuk, is being translated as my God. But which attribute of God is being dealt with here? The yud at the end of the word refers to the personal pronoun my. Elohai is just Elohim without the mem. Elohai could be referring to the God of judgment, to the level of the attribute of judgment. So the combination of these two words, Hashem Elohai, is indicating a unity of the two levels, the two attributes, Chesed and Geburah. The third verse. Pen yidrof ke'aryeh nafshi borek ve'ein matzil. Lest he succeed in tearing my soul apart like a lion, dismembering me with no one to rescue. Does King Shaul have the right to kill David? That question needs to be answered to understand this idea that he is tearing his soul apart like a lion. again, it's talking about the body, because the word nafshi, my soul, nefesh, the lowest level of soul, the soul that is in the blood. The fourth verse. Adonai Yohe Wahe Elohai Imasiti Zoti Imyesh Avel Bekafapai. Hashem Elohai, if I have done this, if corruption is inscribed on my palms, I don't understand this verse. If I have done this, touched the king, if I have done this, made this mistake, whatever it might be, it should be, then corruption will be. But it's saying, if corruption is on my palms, my negativity affects my hands. My doing a negative action causes things to happen to my hands. This is a hint. People do not take the teachings of the Torah literally. They do not take them into their life. They do not live them. And that's what I'm trying to get across to all of us, that we need to take our understandings, which is only one of the 70 ways to understand this pasuk. But even so, it's something that we have to apply to ourselves, because it is meant for each and every one of us. The fifth verse. Im gamalti Shomi Ravi Achalta Soreri Reikam. If I have repaid my friends with evil after having released one who oppressed me without just cause, the word im is being translated if, but the word im is actually our mother. It also means if. They're both meanings are in the word. This is where we begin to see how a verse can be retranslated to recognize these 70 levels. My mother has repaid my friends with evil after having released one who oppressed me without just cause. Is it indicating that the effects can be unjust? It's a question. It's not a possibility, because this world is always perfectly just, measure for measure. This is the teachings of the sages, and it's the way we need to see the world. There is no such thing as unjust injustice. What appears to us as unjust, it's our perception from a lack of knowledge of every aspect of that particular soul's tikkun. The sixth pasuk. Irado oyev nafshi v'yaseg v'yirmos laretz chayai u'kvodi le'apar yashken sela. Remember, Selah means to contemplate. Then let the enemy justly pursue my soul. Overtake it, tread my life down to the earth, and lay my glorious soul in the dust forever. Selah. We need to pause. We need to contemplate what is really being said here. It's also interesting to notice the vowels under the word chaya or chayai, because normally we pronounce it chaye, chaye sera doesn't use these same vowels. That vowel, the small t, the kamatz, is an indication of a level of consciousness called keter, the crown. It's outside of the body. There is much to contemplate, much to learn in this particular verse. The seventh pasuk. Kuma Adonai Yohe Wahe Be'apecha Chinase Be'avrot Tzorerai V'ura Elai Mishpat Tzivita. Rise up, Hashem, Yudhei Vavhei. O merciful Hashem, in your ire, arouse yourself in fury against my adversaries. Stir up on my behalf the judgment that you yourself commanded in your Torah. There are two footnotes in this verse. 21 and 22, and we will read them both. Here David calls on Yudke Vavke, Hashem's attribute of mercy, to punish his enemies. Mercy is not usually associated with punishment. The source for this, however, is in Exodus chapter 15, 6. Your right hand, Hashem, the loving kindness with which you rescue Israel is awesome in power. Your same right hand crushes the enemy. Rashi, where was this commanded in the Torah? After the 10 utterances, Hashem promised Israel, I will destroy your enemies and oppress your oppressors. David does not refer to Shaul as his enemy lightly. The truth is that especially after such episodes as this, when it becomes clear that David meant Shaul no harm. Shaul regretted his treatment of David and swore in his heart never to harm him, according to the Midrash. However, some of Shaul's men, in this case Abner, always managed to convince Shaul that David was lying. These men were David's true enemies. With great respect, I disagree with Rob Sutton's comments here. There is only one enemy to any human being. Only one. And it is always Satan. From God's perspective, he has given Satan certain tasks to perform, certain work to do. That work all relates to human beings. He is responsible to test us. He is responsible to report the test to the Bet Din in Shemayim, in heaven. He is responsible to relate to the Bet Din what happened and become the prosecutor by telling the truth. Satan is our enemy only from the level of consciousness of our perspective. Satan and Hashem will utilize other human beings to bring his messages. These other human beings are just angels, or demons, if you prefer. They are just tasked to bring a message, to bring a test, to give you an opportunity. They're not your enemy. There's no justification to hate another human being. This is a teaching that is so important in our generation that it cannot be emphasized enough. We will do one more verse. The eighth verse. Wa'adat la'umim tesovevecha ve'alecha la'marom shuva. So that a supreme council of the nations will rally round you to recognize your sovereignty, and you will return to preside over it in the heights. Who do you think this is referring to? Is it Hashem? Is it King David? Is it the Mashiach? Who do you think it refers to? We are almost out of time. There is time for questions if you have any. If you do, please unmute your phone and ask them. I'm just going to mention that our classes today at 4:30 is a mini Zohar class dealing with the parasha of Noah from the Zohar. It is Section 25, I believe. And our 7 o'clock class is a Tikkuni Zohar class. I hope you all have a beautiful day. I wish you much shalom, much peace and happiness, health, prosperity in your life. And caution you to be careful in our month of Tevet, which seems to be a very difficult month, especially this year. Does anyone have any questions? If not, I wish you all shalom. Have a beautiful day. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Have a great day.
Shalom.